Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we come back to the need for Christian culture, for Christian family entertainment. And this is probably one of the important crying needs of the day is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And that especially applies to the area of popular culture. It's incredible how much influence popular culture has had to the dissolution of faith and family over the last number of years. Certainly that was not the case for little farmer boy, Almanza Wilder, who's up in New York State in 1870 plowing fields with Pa. Things have changed a bit with the introduction of the internet, the introduction of mass media, the introduction of electronic forms of entertainment. And friends, it's important for parents to be on their game. You've got to be on your game. You can't give your two-year-old a chainsaw for his birthday and let him run around the house with it. But here's the question. Can you give your eight-year-old an iPhone? All right, so we're going to be talking about this question today on the Generations Broadcast. Parents, man, it's time to wake up. We cannot be asleep in the light, certainly in these days. Let's be awake, and let's awaken to the battle and understand the need for finding wholesome forms of entertainment, wholesome forms of work, and wholesome forms of culture for our families and for our children. All right, well, Eric Goss is joining me today on the Generations Broadcast. He's founder and CEO of Minnow. Minnow is a faith-based alternative to Disney, Amazon, and Netflix. And you can get it at gominnow.com. I think I just said gominnow.com. But, Eric, welcome to the program. It's good to have you tuned in with us today.
Kevin, great to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Talk to us a little bit about the formation of Minnow. What was the impetus behind that, Eric?
Yeah, I'd say there are kind of three major chapters in that story. I mean, the first is I grew up professionally. Essentially, I started in the Navy, but was at Amazon in the early days, shortly after they had gone public. And there were only a couple hundred people at corporate offices there. And I had a chance to play a pretty significant role in drafting some of the early digital strategies at Amazon. And, you know, fast forward, I ended up leaving Seattle, coming back to Nashville to be in a better position to care for my mom. And in the process, got involved working with Phil Vischer, who's creator of VeggieTales, on a series called Buck Denver Asks What's in the Bible. And just, you know, I'd been involved in planning churches. You know, as I was working vocationally, I was helping out as an elder on the side in churches. And so it felt like there was an opportunity for both to kind of bring my business experience and my desire to really advance the gospel together in working with Phil. And as I worked with Phil, this was kind of 2012, 2013, just recognized that there was an increasing need for digital media, for streaming media, and that much of the infrastructure that had been created over the last 20 years with Christian retail basically was just going to be, you know, devastated by Amazon and by e-commerce. And that's essentially what's happened. And so in the process, what we recognize is we had two groups of people coming to us saying, hey, we had parents saying, hey, we're looking for more resources. Can you help us find resources like What's in the Bible to be able to disciple our kids? But then we were also having Christian creatives, many who were actually in Hollywood or in New York who are working children's media, saying, hey, I've got projects that I want to make, but I don't know how to get them to market. Like, how do I even take this idea and get it in front of Christian parents? And there really was no route to market because none of the mainstream networks or studios really care about Christian content. And so that really led to this idea of, can we create a digital platform that can really serve Christian families, raise up the next generation of Christian kids, but then really give an opportunity for Christian creatives to bring their gifts to bear for the purpose of advancing the kingdom.
Well, that was incredibly important, especially this day. It seems that the children's media is going the wrong direction. Eric, maybe you could speak to this just a little bit. It just seems that Disney has been introducing, you know, more and more edgy topics. Beauty and the Beast 2017 introduced a homosexual character. Jungle Cruise, coming out here in June or July of this year, is bringing in or bringing out a homosexual character. And I think one of their cartoon segments began to introduce some of this stuff back in 2017. So it does seem that the children's media is going the wrong direction. Is that your flavor?
Yeah, I think, Kevin, it's interesting because I'd say it's been going the wrong direction for a long time. It's just we've not been dissatisfied enough with it.
Right.
So in one sense, if we think of, I talk about this word with my team, this idea of telos, or kind of the theological term talking about kind of what's the ultimate end of what we're trying to do. And oftentimes with children's content, we basically just expect it to be safe. We don't really expect children's content to actually help our children think better about the world or think the right thoughts about God. And so, if you look at children's content, for a long time, the idea that God's presence in children's media has basically disappeared. One out of every three Americans goes to church, and most of us have friends and neighbors that are active in church, and we see manifestations of faith all around us, but our kids don't see that in their media at all and haven't for decades. And so all we're seeing, I think, is kind of that trend sort of play out where there was a sense of can children's media be wholesome, can it be safe? Now there's a sense of it actually, really incorporating this idea of life without God and what life without God looks like. And so the thing that I get most concerned about is our children are growing up without a Christian imagination. And so, so many of us as adults try to figure out what does it mean for me to integrate my work with my faith? Because we basically have grown up with sort of dichotomous lives where faith and work aren't really oriented. And the same thing happens. We raise our kids this way where media has nothing to do or nothing to say about God. And then we expect kids to become adults that have fully integrated lives. And so there's a real issue of what can we do to kind of build discipleship in media. With the major companies, the key issue is, does Disney, does Amazon, does Hulu, does Netflix, do they really care about the glory of God? And I would say that they don't. And so they're actually doing a great job executing on their mission, which is creating shareholder value. And that oftentimes is at the consequence of the moral imagination of our children.
And more than that, some of these outlets have become increasingly anti-Christian. It's getting more and more difficult for Christians to get their message out through some of these platforms these days, and it's just probably they're not going to be open for the next Christian productions for children's entertainment. Is that your take on that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that we feel passionate about, Menno, is we're trying to advance the arts and give people the opportunity to communicate, tell stories where God's a part of that story. And I think, at best on these platforms, there's a sense of, hey, we want Christian programming for the purpose of exploiting commercially the Christian audience. At worst, there's the idea that, God is just a fairy tale. And so I think, I think it's really challenging because most of these platforms don't have incentives outside of commercial incentive. But even then, so many of the folks that are executives at these companies, because I was, working at Amazon, a lot of them don't even have a proxy or have a context for what does it mean to, they don't even know Christians. And so when programming comes across with messages about the gospel and about following Christ, they really have no context or orientation to evaluate it. And so I think it's becoming increasingly difficult. And I've talked to world-class creatives who are working in children's media at Disney, at Pixar, at Sesame Street. And it's very difficult. They really don't know how can they get a project forward because they recognize if I want to get a project advanced, I really need to strip it of any mention of God. Because it's the mentioning of God and integrating the faith that's actually the obstacle to getting the project actually funded.
So at one time, using God's name in vain was something you wouldn't want to see in programming. Today, if you use the word God in a reverent manner, that's almost like a four-letter word today in mass media. So it's almost gone the opposite direction, hasn't it?
It has almost gone the opposite direction. I think that's very true.
Hmm. Let's talk about, your children watching Disney. Or how do parents be selective? Would you recommend that they just go Minnow.com, or should parents be watching these movies with their children, watching them critically? Do you encourage, high levels of discernment? and selectivity. What do you tell parents when it comes to their children's cultural choices?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that we always say is every family's culture is its own culture, in the sense that every child is unique and different, and there are certain children that can handle certain things that other kids can't. And so, and from regards to thematic, and it really depends on the age. I mean, one of the reasons we wanted to set Minnow up was a place where parents could not have to worry about being vigilant all the time. And so, you know, and our platform is ideally set up for kids ages, you know, from preschool all the way up to probably 10 to 11 years of age. When parents are on these other platforms, I think it's really important to discern, you know, what messages are being communicated. My children are a little bit older now. They're in their teens, and we'll watch shows with them, but we almost use it as an opportunity to expose and to kind of talk through the messages and the themes that are going on. And I think there's one sense where that can actually be a really valuable exercise for families, because the ability to sort of raise issues before kids actually have to deal with them in the real world. At the same time, I think just letting children have sort of unfettered access to media is really challenging, only because even kids who I think really are trying to make good choices oftentimes bump into shows that their parents wouldn't want them to see, or bumping into themes that they themselves are even uncomfortable with, only because of the way that a lot of the algorithms are set up and the incentives for the platforms themselves to put programs in front of kids just to expose them to more shows. And so I think parents have to be really wise and discerning. I think, you know, to the degree that you can use these as opportunities to have conversation with your kids, I think that's where there's a real win. But the idea of just giving children sort of unfettered access, and again, I'm thinking, you know, below the age of 12, with the expectation that it's going to be okay or it's going to be safe, that just doesn't exist right now in the world that we're in.
And one of the things that people forget is, you know, the initial part of the sequence or the sequels might have been safe, but then there's the Pied Piper factor that kicks in. Where is this thing going? What's the trajectory? Where are these guys going to introduce the next character that may be participating in a certain sexual activity that we would find abhorrent? We just, you know, don't know where this is going. So there's always this trajectory, what I would call the Pied Piper factor, that plays into children's media these days. So as parents, it's hard to trust these Hollywood production companies. You just don't know where they're going. I mean, you know, the first in the sequels in the series may be fine, but then How to Train Your Dragon introduces a certain character in the third sequel of the series. So I guess you've got to be really aware of whether or not the production company or the directors share your values. I think that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's really what comes down to be the toughest issue, Kevin, is, you know, it's like when Netflix develops a kids section or Amazon develops a kids section, you know, there's someone at the company making a decision about what's appropriate for what children at what ages. And if those folks don't share your values, then it's not just an issue of them sort of not sharing your values. Oftentimes they are actively thinking, okay, what messages do we want to get in front of children? And they're often pushing messages in front of kids where parents aren't getting to choose. And there's a sense of, oh, I was just at a major children's conference just a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, one of the executives said from the stage is, you know, well, if a parent's trying to protect their child from that message, that child needs to hear that message anyway. And you know, I kind of recoiled when I heard that, because there's sort of a sense of people are making decisions about how my children should be raised without me being involved in that. And I think that's the thing that Christian parents feel so frustrated by, is that culture and media and institutions in many ways are pulling choice away from them and the ability to control how do I raise my child. And that's what we think is so important, is Minnow is a place where we're really trying to build that integrity into the platform where the messages and the programming that, that parents have available to them have all been curated, have all been reviewed. They can trust it, and they don't have to be vigilant. Because on one hand, as we talk about the fact that parents need to be involved in media, there's a sense that that requires a lot of time. And the two things that I think most, the two things that are sort of in short supply for most of us is time and trust. And so what we're really trying to do at Minnow is trying to make this as simple as possible for parents, knowing that time and trust are in short supply. And it's just hard. It's those small decisions that happen in the day where children get access to a device or you just need a break. And we really want to make sure that that's not time of compromise, but it's really an opportunity for them to get exposed to messages that can help them grow in their understanding of Christ, but also enhance the lives of families.
Eric Goss is founder and CEO of Christian children's media outlet called GoMinnow.com. It's a faith-based alternative to Disney. Eric, would you give an 8-year-old a cell phone or an iPhone, or would you give a 14-year-old an iPhone? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the child, and I've seen this even in my own family. So, like, I have a daughter who has type 1 diabetes, and we probably ended up giving her a phone earlier than some folks would have given their daughter a phone, only because it was helping us with the management of her disease. But we all understood kind of why we were doing that and what it was used for. I have another daughter who we waited longer because of just concerns because, you know, she loves media and is involved in media and has a hard time saying no to it. And so, you know, almost all of the research and studies would say when it comes to social media and any type of interaction with other folks, you want to wait as long as you can. Even Common Sense Media, which is a really good mainstream nonprofit, talks about, you know, waiting as long as you can. But I think, you know, for each child and each context, it's really different. And it's very easy to come up with rules. But, you know, if you've got a family where both parents have to work, or you have a single mom, which often is the case, you know, the need for those type of devices and the use of them comes up. So I don't like to be prescriptive in that, but I think what's really important is that parents talk to their kids about the use of technology and what does it mean to be responsible with it.
Seems to me oversight, trust, these sorts of things tie in. If you don't trust, if there isn't, you know, a transparency, a sort of walking in the light going on with the various sources of media in the household. If dad isn't being upfront with the kids and with his wife as to what's going on with his media choices, that could be a real problem for the household. So I think it's really a question of whether we're all going to walk in the light, whether there's going to be a measure of transparency in the household. And that really comes from the top down. I mean, that's dad first, then mom, and then all the kids. And we all want to be walking in the light, and we want to be sharing and you know, being accountable in terms of our media. So I think these are the principles that tie in just about anything in the home when it comes to media choices.
Kevin, I completely agree with that. I mean, I think it's really important for families to have open discussions about the role of technology in their lives. And again, to your point, 150, 200 years ago, those weren't conversations that we needed to have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, and this has been challenging for me even add that you sometimes think you're raising kids, and the reality is you're raising adults. And you know, we want to make sure that our children are developing responsible habits from technology. They are not going to develop responsible technology and media habits if they don't have any access to it. And then all of a sudden, when they leave home, they're inundated with it. And so part of it is, what does it mean to have open, honest conversations as a family with your children, and really look at it as an opportunity for discipleship? Because, you know, I think it's been some of the better conversations we've had have been open conversations with our girls. I've got three girls right now, 11, 13, 15, about, you know, what does it mean to use technology? How do we think about media? What's the perspective on the fact that God's not present in certain media? And allowing those conversations and allowing that openness and transparency you're talking about, I think really builds a lot of integrity in how people think about media, but also, you know, what's good, because I think God wants to bless us, and he wants us to live full lives. And it's very clear that there's certain things that we just shouldn't be doing or be a part of if we really want to experience the best that God has for us.
Eric, let's get back to Minnow. It's gominnow.com, by the way, on the internet. And, Eric, just a little bit more on how to sign up. I understand 128 different programs, 2,336 different episodes. Is Minnow targeted towards younger children? Are we talking, 1 to 6 years old, 1 to 9 years old? What is this? What's the target market here?
Yeah, so we have three ways that we serve families today. The first is Minnow Kids, which is our streaming video app. That's really targeted for kids from toddler all the way up to late elementary school, so probably 10 to 11 years of age. And that's available at gominnow.com, or our folks can sign up for Minnow Kids in their favorite app store on Apple, Google, Amazon, or Roku. And so that's $6.99 a month or $69 a year, and we offer a free trial. We also have a children's publishing division where we've just recently released the Minnow Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids that was written by VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer, and that has already become a best-selling children's Bible. I think there's like over 250, 300 five-star reviews on Amazon, and we're really proud of how the Bible is being used and how it's been able to bless families. And so if you're looking for a great children's Bible, that is a great resource and a great place to help expose your children to God's story. And then third is Minnow Life, which you'll find at the Go Minnow website. And Minnow Life is really a website that's set up dedicated to helping parents understand or help parents get the resources they need to better understand what does it mean to disciple kids in today's culture. And we talk about everything from media, technology, but then also, public schools, private schools, homeschool, how to think through those things as you're raising your kids and the type of issues that come up and how best to work through those issues with your children.
And how do folks sign up for this gominnow.com? How do you become a member, so to speak?
Oh yeah, so for the Minnow Kids streaming app, you can go to GoMinnow and you can sign up there. And it's $6.99 a month or $69 a year. You can get a 1 week free trial. And then at the app stores, you can actually sign up for the service within app. So if you like subscribing via Apple, Google, or Amazon or Roku, you can do that on those platforms. And so that's the easiest way to sign up for the Minnow Kids streaming app.
Eric, why don't you just wrap this up? What's the vision? What's the intent on the part of gominnow.com to edify, to build up? What's the end goal or objective for our kids as they watch these things, as they participate in this media?
Yeah, well, the name Minnow, M-I-N-N-O, is actually based on a Greek word, Minnow, M-E-N-O, which is from John 15, 4 through 5, where Jesus talks about abiding in him and him abiding in us. And I think what our business is really creating a platform serving the church globally for the purpose of helping people experience God and live with him daily. And that's what we really believe is so important is, it's not just knowing facts about God and knowing the Bible, but really experiencing Christ and the Holy Spirit day to day and understanding what he wants for us and how we can participate in what he's doing in the world to redeem it to himself.
And that is certainly the vision for Christian family life. It's just the day-to-day life in Christ. And let's be sure we're abiding in the Word. And that involves family worship each and every day as families get into the Word together. But also, hey, why not supplement that with some biblical lessons that come through through some media forms? And that's what's provided here with Minnow, identified on the internet at gominnow.com. Eric Goss is founder and CEO of this Christian children's media outlet, Minnow. And he's been my guest on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Eric, thanks a bunch for joining us.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Take care. God bless.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.